10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to a Trending Topic Network presentation of Toons Game Time for Friday, whatever the hell date this is, 2015. It's actually June 19th. My name is Brian, and on this week's show, E3 is officially in the books and in the past, and I brought a couple of friends along with me to discuss all the various news and things that we got to see at the E3 conferences. So let's just get right into that. I'm not going to waste anybody's time this week. Maybe I'll waste your time next week, but not this week. So let's just start. We're going to start east and go west. So we're going to go across the pond to the UK, where it is really early in the morning, and Mart has woke up especially early just to join the conversation. What's going on, Mart?
It's 2:30 a.m., and I'm just about with it.
I would yell at you.
Doom 4 trailer again just to wake myself up, and I probably won't get back to sleep now.
I would yell at you for having low energy, but then I'm like, yeah, 2:30 in the morning. I can only imagine what I'll be like at 2:30 in the morning.
You'll be working, won't you?
Yeah. But now we're going to go wester, because Easter is in March. Or April. And we're going to go wester to Pennsylvania, where Tucker is hanging out. How you doing, Tucker?
Pretty good. Luckily, it's not 2:30 in the morning here, so I'm not tired. But, you know, that's something to be happy about.
It's something, at least. It's Friday night,
yeah.
So at this point, it's 9:30, so even if you had to work at GameStop, you'd be out of there by now.
Yep.
So, but either way, glad to have you on board, and I would actually be just Wester, but nobody cares about me, because everybody cares about our next guest, who is out in Minnesota. You saw him last week, or you didn't see him, or at least you heard him, unless maybe you downloaded the track and put it into Audacity and you got to see the audio waves, which I strongly suggest you do, but either way, it's Ryan Hamner. What's going on, my man?
I'm actually the most well-rested of everyone because I am an hour behind you guys, so it's an early 8:30 in Minnesota right now, so I am raring to go.
The guy that we need to have on the line, you guys probably don't know him, but Martin and I do, is GBL, because it's actually tomorrow for him, like beyond tomorrow. Like, I think he's 6 hours behind us, but it's tomorrow, so it'd be like 3 o'clock or something like that. As we speak.
Saturday afternoon, maybe.
So we could find out what we're going to have for dinner and all that fun stuff, because everybody has the same thing for dinner on the same day. That's
general
rule. The way it goes. Yeah, either way, you're getting to see the fun side. This is actually the Toon side of Brian. We do things a little crazier on Toons with Jack and Brian. But right now, we're going to actually discuss video games, because this week, obviously, Monday, Tuesday, starting actually Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and a bunch of little things going on throughout the week was a big week for video games. E3 taking place in Los Angeles, California. It was kind of a big deal. There's a lot of hype surrounding it each and every year. Let's just look as a general thing. Do you guys think, and I'll probably start with, we'll just start with you, Ryan. Do you think that E3 as a whole, not looking at anything specifically, but as a whole, did you come out of E3 up to par with the hype? Did it meet the hype? Did it fall short? What were your general thoughts on the conference?
You know, we saw so much stuff this year that we've seen before. It just felt like a little bit flat. And a lot of that, you know, comes from the recent trend over the last couple of years of stuff coming out, getting announced a couple of weeks beforehand, kind of like Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was a few surprises thrown in there, like Dishonored 2 was a shocker. I didn't see that coming. But stuff like Forza, you know, we knew that that was on its way. We saw more Uncharted, just kind of stuff that we already knew about. So I guess in that capacity, I was a little bit underwhelmed this year.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, I think I kind of said it in my email to you pre-Sony show. You know, it's just going to be the same stuff that's not been released previously that should have been. But yeah, I mean, I agree there were a few surprises. And it was good to see a bit more gameplay of some of the things that we've been waiting for that should have been out last year. But there we go.
Yeah, it's so hard to keep up with, too, because there's always so much hype. But, Tucker, are you on the same boat? Do you think it was kind of just a little bit of an underwhelming show this year?
Yeah, a little bit. Usually just because they use it as a way to, like, announce big games where it takes everybody as a shock, which really, other than Dishonored 2, everything everyone kind of knew about, it was just looking into it more. So there wasn't that big, like, excitement of, oh, this, you know, just got announced and it looks really cool. It's just they're showing gameplay of stuff that was already announced. Other than Dishonored 2, I think there was Gears of War 4, which was kind of expected, but nobody really knew what was going on with that. But two in one conference is not necessarily a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of rough, and I look at it, and I can't help but think it's the internet is to blame. I mean, frankly, we got to have all our news, we got to know the absolute latest on everything at all times, and it's like, people undervalue being surprised, in my opinion. And it's like E3 is that one place where you want to go into it and you want to be surprised. You want to see things that you've never seen before. I'm sure I'll talk about it later. I knew that the HoloLens was coming. And you can say what you want about their presentation of the HoloLens, but the HoloLens really had me hyped. I hate Minecraft. I despise it. But the technology itself, I was just enraptured by it. And that's the kind of thing that you want from an E3 conference, from things like this. I mean, that whole hype machine is basically to gear up for what we're going to be seeing. And I'm with you guys. I felt really underwhelmed by it, outside of one thing that we'll actually talk about later. We're going to get into some of the individual shows right now, because you had a bunch of different presentations. And I admittedly did not see absolutely everything because this was just an incredibly busy week for me, given some circumstances involving vehicles mainly. But the PC show, I completely missed that. And it kind of upsets me because I wanted to watch it, but I just could not find the time to watch the PC show. Did you guys happen to catch that? Because I heard it was kind of anticlimactic.
I did not. I meant to, but there was some stuff going on, and I never ended up actually getting to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely missed it, too.
I'm not a PC gamer, so I just avoid it.
Yeah, and the thing is, from what I hear from different sources, it wasn't really a big deal that we missed it. they really just did the standard fare. You saw some stuff from Blizzard, but not really anything really of note. No. So with all the hype that was surrounding the fact that PC gaming is going to have its own conference this year at E3, and how everybody was talking about it, really, it was just one of those things where nobody really cared. And the fact that something is broad in general, I think, is kind of what buried that, because you look at PC and the PC gaming, I'm sure, we have listeners, obviously, that do the PC gaming. Tucker, you're one of them. You get into the PC gaming a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But if they're not even excited about it, it's kind of hard to be excited about it because of how broad that actual subject is. So many things going on with all the different developers. There's billions of developers of games. Everything from freaking Solitaire to anything that we're going to see on a console. Because the fact is, it's one of those things, it's PC gaming almost seems out of place. Am I wrong in that, Ryan?
You know, I do a little bit of it. I enjoy playing, like, iRacing. I still kind of like, I'll dust off X-Wing every now and then and play that. But that's about as far as I go with PC gaming. But if they were looking to kind of reignite the spark amongst the layman, the console-type crowd, they certainly didn't do it.
Yeah. And it makes it rough, because there were so many actually good presentations and good aspects of presentations that I think the PC gaming, they just missed the mark. This was maybe the wrong year for them to do it, or at least the wrong team was leading the charge for them. But let's actually, we're going to move on to Bethesda Studios, because we're going to kind of go chronologically here. Bethesda Studios, I actually said in my wrap-up of that article on ToonShow.com that I think Bethesda Studios really stole the show. Maybe it was on the strength, the bias that I have towards Fallout 4. That, to me, was a huge deal, getting to see all the things that they're doing with that. Yes, it looks like Fallout. It doesn't look anything special. It doesn't look like it's fully taking advantage of absolutely everything the machines have to offer. But when you look at some of the other offerings that they brought, Doom 4, they open it up with that. Tucker, are you a Doom 4 player or a Doom player?
I never really enjoyed any of the previous Dooms. Played a little bit of them, but it wasn't something that, like, caught my interest that I wanted to sit down and play. Kind of got bored with it really quickly and then never played it again.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the same way with you. I never really played Doom all that much. You know what to expect. Everybody knows what it is, surely. We've seen it. We've seen all the different graphics. But I think it's kind of funny because it looks like it's Doom with updated graphics. They kind of just redid it. Mart, are you a Doom player?
I played Doom 1 and 2. I kind of gave up on Doom after playing it one night on acid. Back in the art college, and there was the little baby crying in the background on some of the levels, and that just freaked me out, and I never went back. Doom 4, it just looks, yeah, like you say, it's Doom with updated graphics.
Yeah.
But same amount of insane violence against dead things.
Is it smart that they really just stuck with what Doom really is? I mean, Doom 1 and 2 was pretty much the same game with just updated graphics, essentially, from what I understand, because, like I said, I never played it. But it was a formula that worked for a number of years. Is it right by them to just stick with what they are?
Well, I think, yeah, Doom's Doom at the end of the day. You're not going to be able to change it that much. You're in hell-laden levels, aren't you? Just beating the crap out of dead stuff. I don't think there's any other way they could go with it, to be honest. There's never much of a story.
Yeah. Now, what are your thoughts, Ryan? Because I know that, and you don't even have to stick with Doom, because, I mean, there was a lot actually introduced, including Dishonored 2 as well as Fallout 4. What are your thoughts on Bethesda as a whole, or some of the things that they're trying to do?
I can't comment on Doom at all, because outside of seeing the movie with The Rock, that's my exposure to Doom, so I have no comment on that. But, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of Dishonored. You know, I thought it was kind of overhyped. I tried playing it. I made maybe 2 hours into it. I mean, the concept was cool. I liked the idea, but it just didn't click with me. But I gotta admit, Dishonored 2 kind of pulls me back in. I like the idea that they also brought, the definitive edition. Yeah, it's kind of like a 1-2 punch, similar to what Sony should have done with Uncharted and Uncharted 4 and the Nathan Drake collection. But I like how they kind of package that together. And of course, Fallout 4, there's nothing I can really say about that. I'm ridiculously hyped for it.
Yeah, and are you there with that line of thinking, Tucker? Or what did you think of Bethesda as a whole?
For the most part, it was a enjoyable panel, I guess I'll call it. Dishonored 2, I was extremely excited for. Loved the first one. Poured tons of hours into that game. Just for whatever reason, I fell in love with it. The idea of it was fun. So 2 looks sweet. Fallout 4, they showed the original reveal trailer. Watched that, was already excited, but then whenever they went into, like, the gameplay and all that, I need it now. Like, I don't care about when it comes out. I want it now. And I guess they announced that in order to 100% perfect the game, it'll take 400 hours for Fallout 4.
Oh my god.
Woo. That's a long game.
400.
That's insane.
Yeah. Mart, are you going to do that?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Children? What children?
Yeah, exactly. Go and play Minecraft upstairs. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching that Bethesda Studios things, and maybe it was because, you know, first, like we talked about last week, Ryan, first studio up, and it's got all the hype and the excitement. So, and like I said, I mean, I knew Fallout 4 was going to be announced. But just basically the way they did the entire conference, I was just totally into it. I kind of bought into them actually being gamers and enjoying what they do, which I think is very important when it comes to these guys and presenting in that aspect of it. The only thing I could not get behind in any way, shape, or form, there were two things, actually. A battle cry, which was that global beta.
Mm.
It looked like it belonged on, like, early PlayStation 2. It looked like crap. Is anybody actually interested in this after they showed it?
No.
Not at all, no.
Yeah, it just looks like shit. And it's one of those things, if you're going to bring something and it's obviously your first at-bat, basically, with the E3, you don't bring that. Because that was bad. The other thing I wasn't into, because I don't like the card games necessarily, is Elder Scrolls Legends. I love Elder Scrolls. I love everything about the whole, you know, Morrowind and Skyrim and Mist, and I love all those. But the card games, no, I'm not interested in it. And I understand that it's a mobile game, but I just don't care. There are so many out there. Am I wrong for that, Ryan?
There's just so many other mobile games that are so much more fun to play. That did not trip my trigger at all. And I'm like you. I love Skyrim. I love the world that they've created. But I will not be playing that game.
Yeah, it's just rough. And I don't even know where to go from there. The other thing that they announced, we'll just go with the Bethesda.net. Now. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on these kinds of things, but sometimes it seems to me like maybe companies and the developers, the studios, the publishers are trying to keep as much of their intellectual property as close to them as possible. Is this Bethesda's way of really kind of backdooring and pulling a Nintendo move, kind of? Is that what you got from it, Mark? Because I wasn't feeling the Bethesda.net. Either.
To be honest, I didn't see the Bethesda.net thing, so I'm going to share your opinion.
It's basically a sharing hub. You want to share your videos. It's essentially proprietary BS kind of like Twitch, but just through Bethesda. Have you heard anybody talk about this at all, Tucker?
Not really, no. I mean, I knew that it was just kind of like a video sharing kind of Twitch sort of thing, except did it even have live streaming? I thought it was just where you could like upload videos to.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, and I don't even know that they know.
But yeah, when they first announced that it was like what Bethesda.net was, I thought they were pulling like a Blizzard with the whole Battle.net, where it was just the easier way to keep all of Bethesda's games together with like its own launcher on your computer, whatever. But now, with it just kind of being the video thing, I don't really see the point to needing it, because people already use Twitch, they use YouTube, why do you need a Bethesda-specific website?
Yeah. And Ryan, I don't think that you upload anything really video-wise, do you?
No, I don't, and if I was going to use that, I would use Twitch or YouTube. A lot of it actually reminded me of that Uplay thing that Ubisoft tries to ram down your throats every game. Not that's not a video deal, but it's just there's better ways to do that, you know. I mean, there's established stuff, and why would anyone ever go away from that?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me either. And I don't know. Maybe that's why as soon as I saw it, I was like, "Yeah, bullshit." Moving on. But other than that, I mean, I really like Bethesda's conference. I was into it the entire time, even when I was criticizing them for Battlecry. One of the things you immediately saw was people criticizing Doom 4 for the gratuitous violence. I don't think that that's... I think that's a symptom of social media.
That is Doom. That's what Doom's all about.
Yeah. And that's why somebody put in there about the churches are criticizing it or something. I'm like, well, isn't Doom like the training manual for fighting the demons of hell?
There you go.
So the churches should be behind that.
Exactly.
But, either way, then the other thing that I did mention, and I have in the show notes there, it's I kind of have the feeling that Bethesda is kind of spacing their games out, their series, their franchises, in the right way. You look at how long it's been since we've seen Fallout New Vegas or anything from Fallout. You look at how long it's been since we've seen anything from Doom 4 or from the Doom series. Dishonored, it's been several years, and they're introducing them now and kind of spacing them out a little bit. Is that the right way to handle it? Is this something that maybe companies like Ubisoft should really take note of? Because they're getting a lot of hype for these games, mainly because we haven't seen them for a while.
Yeah, I totally think spacing stuff out is the way to go. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and we've seen it with the Assassin's Creed franchise. We discussed this last week, that getting it every single year, it just does not feel special whatsoever anymore.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Sucker?
Yeah, not only does it create the hype for it because, you know, second Fallout 4 got released, everyone was into it because you haven't had it for a while, but it also gives them the time to put in the effort needed to make a good game. The problem with games like Call of Duty now is that they do get regurgitated every year, and they've gotten to the point where they're just the same thing over and over again because it's literally every year and they don't have the time to put into it.
Yeah, completely agree. And did you have anything to add to that, Mike?
No, I agree with everything that's said. These games just turn into your normal sports franchise game every year, don't they, with a new roster?
Yeah.
They don't do anything to it, there's hardly any story, and they just pump it out and pump it out. Ugh.
I
hate that.
I would just love to see all the companies and the publishers just kind of go with this kind of thing to where they space them out. To pick a franchise, skip it for a year, and then run on a rotation, where it evens and odds or something like that, to where you saw Assassin's Creed and then Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed or Call of Duty, kind of do that. Because that would actually be more bearable. Because, like Ryan said, like Tucker said, you give them, the developers, the time to actually put out a decent game. and not have, like, a 3.8 gigabyte download the day one patch. That's what people, and that's honestly what people despise. I think they despise that more than pushing the date back on the game. Because you just want to have a good game, and you want to be able to play it within 5 minutes of putting it in your player on the day that you get it. You don't want to sit there and have to walk away for an hour and a half and just wait for that download to happen. But either way, Bethesda, good job. Todd Howard, I declared in my article on TuneShow.com that he is the greatest speaker alive. I really got into him. Just the way he presented Fallout 4 was just incredible. Completely into it. I was already hyped for that game, and I was even more hyped when he walked off stage. He just did a fantastic job. But we're gonna move on. Because I would just talk about Fallout 4 for the next hour and a half. We're gonna move on to Microsoft and their presentation, because they started off nice and early in the day on Monday. Starting off with, they had some big announcements. And Tucker, I know that you've got the Xbox One, and you're, I believe, the only one here that has an Xbox One with us this evening. So we're probably going to rely on you a lot for your opinions, but I know we also have opinions as well regarding this. But let's just start off at the beginning, because they opened with Halo 5 Guardians. Now, Halo 5 Guardians, as they're showing this, I could not get over just how good it looked. Just basically looking, and I think I tweeted out that we need to appreciate just how powerful these machines are. Because Halo 5, it had a lot going on visually. And in a lot of ways, that's not the kind of thing that I like, but it just looked good as I wasn't playing it. Mart, when you think back to some of the first game systems that you had, if you could go back and talk to that Mart and say, hey, this is what you're going to see, what would young Mart say to that?
Get the fuck out of here. Probably. You've got to remember, I started off playing Pong.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And Tucker, with you owning the Xbox One, is Halo 5 something that you, at least the Halo franchise, something that you're into? And if so, is that something that you're going to be like a day one purchase for you? Or did Halo, the Master Chief Collection, kind of ruin that enthusiasm for you?
Okay, so other than like my Super Nintendo, the very first game that I really ever like played was Halo 1. So that's pretty much what got me started into it. I had Super Mario Brothers and all that. That was fun. But what got me into like the Xbox and all that was Halo. Halo is one of the reasons that I stick with Microsoft, so I'm a little bit excited. Watching like the gameplay and everything, not only was I amazed with how great everything looked, because it was amazing, but just all the small little things that they added that I don't know if most people were seeing as I was they almost made it control a little bit more like Call of Duty, with the easier sprinting, the ability to actually climb over things, not just having to jump over it. Like, you can actually climb over things. If you don't make the jump, you can climb up onto the ledge. Just all the little tweaks that they added to it to make it control better. I already have it 100% paid for and will be getting it the day it comes out.
Nice. And Ryan, you're a Call of Duty vet. And you've owned PlayStation for the past two generations, am I right?
Yeah, I also have a 360.
Oh, you have the 360 as well. Now, if you're actually one of those people that's on the fence about getting an Xbox One, and you see Halo 5, is that going to sell you as an exclusive title?
I will admit that I've never been a big Halo guy, but, I mean, that's a beautiful game. And, I mean, it makes it awfully tempting, along with some of the other announcements Microsoft made, which I'm sure we're going to get to. It makes you seriously want to consider getting Xbox One.
Yeah. It does. It really looks good, and I'm kind of like you, because throughout the Microsoft conference, and I know that a lot of Sony people are out there saying, no, Sony kicked their ass, that's the way they're getting, and I'm like, maybe in some aspects there were good things that Sony did, but as I was watching Microsoft before Sony ever happened, I was finding myself excited about a lot of the different things they did, including Halo 5, including ReCore. I was watching that, and I'm like, I don't know what this is necessarily, but I like what it reminds me of. And that was a cross between, like, a Star Wars and Tomb Raider. It just had that feel. I felt like that whole thing was taking place, like, on Tatooine or something. And I was really into that. I was also into The Division, which I know that's not an exclusive title. But then I saw later the Rare Collection, and I'm a retro gamer, so that really spoke to me. And I know retro game collections, which really are kind of out of place at the E3 conference, and they typically don't sell all that great. But I was just looking at it, and when I saw Battletoads flash up, I about freaked because I love Battletoads. And then they showed RC Pro-Am, and I was like, that's it, what the hell do I have a Sony for? I really marked out for that. But that's just me, I'm a retro gamer, I love the retro game, I have literally six consoles set up right now in my basement, because I love retro gaming, and so that one spoke to me, and I'm probably a niche kind of guy. But before we get into it, just going over the exclusives real quick. They did do the Minecraft HoloLens edition, Fable Legends, Gears of War Ultimate Edition and Gears of War 4, which are going to be big, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But one of the ones that they did show, obviously Forza 6, gigantic. One of the ones they did show, though, and I'm going to go to Mart for this one, Sea of Thieves, which is a pirating adventure. Mart, I know you got excited to see all the semen on your screen.
Well, I don't know, that was coming.
Was that too much? I don't even know.
It's never too much semen on the screen, Brian, even it. We've video Skyped before.
Well, was there anything that you saw from Microsoft, Mart, that actually made you say, man, I wish they had that on Sony?
I am a big racing guy, so I would like to play Forza. I would. But I'm not really a first-person shooter, and I haven't been for quite a few years, so Halo doesn't really float my boat. HoloLens technology, possibly. Depending on where that goes in the future. If I could be sat in my front room with GTA, sat in a strip bar and it's all on the wall, that'd be great. There we go.
Alright, and I'm going to kick it to you, Ryan, and then we'll go to Tucker, because he's going to be the one partaking in the majority of these. Aside from Cuphead, which was a personal favorite of mine, I really like that game. But were there any other titles that Microsoft presented that you kind of wish that Sony would have, or you kind of you think would actually move the needle at all from Microsoft?
Well, I'm with you on that Rare collection and the idea of getting to race those little cars around the track over and over and over again. And I didn't see if it's going to be with updated graphics or if it's going to be authentic too, or if it's going to be you'll be able to flip back and forth, but I mean, that right there, along with like you said, Battletoads, and I'm still upset. I know it's going to be a timed exclusive, but Rise of the Tomb Raider is another one. I absolutely loved the first of the reboot game that came out a couple of years ago, and it just drives me nuts that I'm not going to get a first crack at it at the same time as the Xbox.
Yeah. And Tomb Raider you can actually get right now in the PlayStation Store for like $20 or something like that.
It's a fantastic deal.
Yeah, it's really good, and I saw it, and then I was like, but having to buy a new car, I know my wife would yell at me. But Tucker, you probably paid really close attention to the games that are coming out.
Yeah.
And maybe Gears of War is something that, I mean, we talked about it with PK. Gears of War 4, what you saw, I'd love to get your opinion on that, and any other games that you saw in the Microsoft lineup that you think are going to be something that you're really going to get into.
Okay, so watching the conference, there was a couple things that I was kind of meh on, just because, like, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2, never really played the first one, didn't really care for it, but people liked it, whatever. List of things that I'm excited for. Here we go. Halo 5, ReCore looks amazing. Didn't know what it was when it first started, but by halfway through the trailer, I wanted it. Both the Tom Clancy games, because Rainbow Six is amazing, and The Division just looks cool. Rare Collection, I'm so happy for. Now people will stop coming into GameStop asking for Battletoads, and when they do, I'll actually be able to give it to them. Oh my god. Sea of Thieves, didn't really care for. Kind of set on the only MMO I'll ever need, so didn't really float my boat, no pun intended. Gears of War 4, though, they were playing the trailer. When it started off, and they got into the castle or whatever, it almost looked like they were going like a Resident Evil-style survival horror kind of thing, because they mm-hmm. had the restricted camera, you couldn't really see, it was dark, looked like things were going to be popping out, and that's another game that it needs to happen soon, because I want to cut things in half with a chainsaw.
that was such a good way to start that trailer. It really
it was.
It was such a good feel. And I think we talked about it to where we were kind of like, well, Gears of War, they better do something different. But the moment they started it out like that, it felt different, even if it's not going to be all that different. What a good trailer. The gameplay in that just was pretty amazing, just the different things that were going on. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to play Gears of War. I'm actually genuinely kind of ticked off that I don't have an Xbox One now. Or at least I just want to add that to my collection as well of consoles. But let's move on. And I know during the conference, I kind of kept the game separate from all the different extra stuff. Because the extra stuff that Microsoft announced was flat out huge. And I know Ryan and I were tweeting back and forth a little bit during the watching of that. But Mark, backwards compatibility. That was one of the big ones that they announced right off the bat. Is this something that it's a good time? Is there ever a bad time to add that in? Because I did see some Sony people criticizing them for waiting until everybody traded their games in to add backward compatibility. But if you're on the fence and you have the money to spare, is that something that's actually going to attract you to buy an Xbox One?
Not now. It's too late for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept my PS3 mainly because it's worth sweet FA to trade in, but and the games. But yeah, okay. Backwards compatibility is either day one or not at all for me.
Yeah, it is kind of rough. And Ryan, what are your thoughts on this? Because I know the backwards compatibility thing, that was one of the things that I know that you said you think is a huge deal. So why don't you share with everybody your general thoughts on backwards compatibility and Xbox, how smart they were to actually institute it.
I thought it was a brilliant move. I mean, it allows people that just have the Xbox One to play fantastic games from last generation like Alan Wake and Splinter Cell Conviction. I know we've got the Halo games in the Master Chief Collection, but still, I mean, all that stuff, there's just so many games. It just adds such a huge library for such little effort. And I just thought it was a great way. And to start it so early in the conference was just a bold move, and I really think it worked well.
Absolutely. And are you thinking along those same lines? Have you heard anything about that, Tucker? Have you seen sales increase?
Haven't seen sales increase yet. But the one thing that I do really like about the backwards compatibility is that they made it so that if you were playing a 360 game on your Xbox One, that you could play Xbox Live with people that were on the 360. So that even if, you know, your friend had the game on the 360 and you'd already sold your 360, you could still mm-hmm. play with him. No change. They don't know how they made that possible, but they did, and that's pretty crazy.
Is the plan to put all 360 games available on Xbox One? Because
I believe so.
My understanding is they've got to work on them.
They have
four, and then they'll let you know.
They have now. I think when it first launches, it'll be the ability to get everything that you could already download from the store. So like there are games you could get hard copy, you could get the digital copy. I believe the plan is to eventually make it so that all 360 games are available though.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you download, if you had a digital copy before, then it's fine. But if it's a hard copy, then they've got to make changes.
Well, the way that they said it works is you take the 360 game, you put it into your Xbox One. It recognizes what game it is, and that you technically have the quote-unquote license to have that game, downloads a digital copy from the marketplace for free, and then all you have to do is put the game in your Xbox so that it remembers that you have the quote-unquote license, and then it'll run that digital game. So that it's not technically reading the disc, it's just realizing what game it is, so that it'll play the digital game that you have downloaded to your Xbox.
It's kind of interesting the way they're doing that, and I think it's one of the benefits that I think it can only benefit gamers. like Sony people can sit there and criticize Microsoft for doing it and do it too late, which I did see a lot of that criticism right off the bat. But it benefits gamers in the long run, so I don't see how it could possibly be viewed as a bad thing. Because I look at it, and like my PS4, I can't go and get God of War and throw it into my PS4. I mean, I might be able to buy the digital copy if it's a crossover, but I don't think that every game, I can't go into the PlayStation store and just get any game that was on PlayStation 3 either, which I think is one of the things that we're going to slowly see maybe Microsoft do. I'd like to see how extensive they're going to make it. But I think it's a good thing. I mean, anytime they give gamers more options, it's always a good thing. But let's move on, because talking about options, I completely lost my mind over the Elite Wireless controller that they're coming out with. Now, I have made no bones about it. The S controller and the S series of controllers from Microsoft is far and away my favorite controller of any video game system ever. And they came out with this Elite controller, and I was drooling all over myself. Tucker, it's got a hefty price tag, but is it something that you, as a PC gamer as well, and an Xbox One owner, is that something that you're going to be willing to drop the $150 or whatever dollars that it'll take to get one?
It is $150, and it's something that I'd consider given the... I like how customizable it is, because there's definitely some times when I'm using it that I would like to have the hair trigger setting that you can turn on and all those little back buttons. But if I did end up buying it, it's one of those that I'd have in, like, a glass case that, like, nothing was allowed to touch it unless I was using it. Because if I'm going to spend that much money on a controller, I'm going to make sure that nothing happens to it.
Oh, yeah. You would not want anything to happen to that. I'm with you. I'd be like, kids, sorry, you gotta move out. I don't care if you're 10 and 13. See you later. Let's just say, I mean, what were your thoughts on this, Ryan? I was gonna say, if Sony had done this same sort of thing with an Elite controller, is that something that you would be interested in? But what are your thoughts on the Elite controller, and then maybe get into whether or not you'd get one for Sony?
I think it looks amazing. I mean, if you were a hardcore Call of Duty or Battlefield player or Battlefront, I think it could really pay dividends. With the customization, the quality looks amazing. $150 for a controller, though, I mean, that's, if you're going to buy two of those, you're tacking on another $300 to your gaming system. I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is. It's a lot of cash. Martin, have you ever spent $150 on anything outside of a console itself?
No.
And would you on this controller if they had it available for you?
I just can't see myself spending that much money on a controller. I'd begrudge paying £60 for an extra PS4 controller. I hate it.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot. I could have bought a game rather than another controller, you know.
Does it hurt because of the money you watch it go away, or does it hurt because your wife hits you afterwards?
Yeah, exactly, both.
I get a little of that second one.
You know, for $150, I could probably go and buy a Wii U in, like, our version of GameStop.
The other thing that I wasn't necessarily that interested in, EA had a big presentation about EA Access and giving early accessibility to different titles that they release. The big one they said was Madden. You get to play Madden 5 days earlier. I don't think this is really necessarily a selling point, but it could be for some people. Ryan, is it something that you would be interested in? Like, if you were on the fence between consoles, is that something you'd say, well, if I paid $5 a month to EA, the evil corporation that it is, I could play Madden 5 days earlier? Is that something that would speak to you, or is that something that was just kind of an aside, like, who cares?
I mean, it's 5 days. It's not even a full week. I don't know. I mean, these games, it's $60 for the game. I can wait 5 days. I just don't need to have it done. I don't need to play it early.
Yeah. And Tucker, is that something that you would ever subscribe to as an EA Access account, or whether it's for the early access or for the games in the vault?
No, not at all. Not necessarily the biggest fan of EA as a company. The only reason I buy NHL every year is because it's the only hockey game that there is. The only thing that I was kind of excited for when they made the announcement of all that E3 was that the vault was open to every gold member for the week, so I've just been playing NHL 15 because I don't have it for the one. So other than that, didn't really care for it. There was nothing really all that exciting. Didn't want to pay another subscription for something that I was never really going to use.
Yeah, that makes it kind of rough. And to me, the whole thing is $5 a month, and I'm going to pay them. They're only going to put out the same shit every year anyway. So, and let's be honest, and yeah, I know EA is later in the thing, and they announced NHL 16. Who gives a rat's ass about freaking playoff beards? You spent how much time? I'm sure I'll go off on a rant if we get to EA.
Yeah, I mean, they did change more than that in things that actually do matter, but the fact that they made a like big thing about the playoff beards was like, seriously?
I freaked out. I'm like, really?
Yeah, it was not well played, given how bad the game was last year.
I understand that last year was a disaster, but Phil Spencer. One of the things that he said near the end of the conference, he said that this was the strongest lineup of games that Microsoft has ever had for the Xbox. Do you agree with that, just looking at the lineup of games that they presented, Mart?
Yeah, I think given the last couple of years that Microsoft have had, I would say they had a very strong outing. And although I'm a Sony fanboy, I would say that Microsoft, if not just edged them, it was definitely equal.
And as an outsider, do you kind of agree with Phil Spencer, Ryan?
I think they've really got some heavy hitters. They've got a counter to Gran Turismo in Forza, which is by far the superior motorsports game at the moment, and then they've got their version of Uncharted in Lara Croft, even though it's a timed exclusive. So yeah, I think they've got a really good lineup right now.
Absolutely, and one of the strengths, Tucker, that I heard, or one of the things that I heard someplace, I don't even know where I heard it, is that the benefit that Microsoft has over Sony right now is a lot of these games are coming out in 2015. Is Phil Spencer right, first off, as I asked the other guys? And then I'm going to have you start the conversation with, given everything that they offered up, did they do what they needed to do this year?
He was absolutely right. With all the big names in Gears of War, Halo, Tomb Raider, Forza, the two Tom Clancy games, I can't think of an E3 in the past, I don't even know how many years, that you had that many big name titles get announced. And obviously Fallout was in there, but it's not exactly an exclusive, so, you know, whatever. But the fact that they were able to get that many big titles into one panel and have quite a few of them, I don't remember exactly how many, come out this year, is bar none one of their best panels they've ever had.
Yeah, it was crazy. And that's one of those things where I got so confused watching some of the reaction to it, because everybody's like, nope, Sony won. And I'm like, were you paying attention? Were you paying attention at all to what Microsoft did? Because they have so many strong games. And I'd love to repeat them all again, but we've already said them so many times. And we didn't even mention Plants vs. Zombies, Mart. I mean, because we're going to mention that with the EA thing.
Yeah.
We're probably the only ones that have any vested interest in it. And that's only because our kids will make us buy it. But we're going to move on right now, because I think, well, actually, Mart, I'll ask you the same thing. Did Microsoft do what they needed to do, simply?
Yes.
That's as simple as it gets. And Ryan, are you with them? I mean, Microsoft is pretty strong. Is that what they needed to have?
I thought Microsoft had a fantastic conference.
Excellent. Let's move on to Ubisoft now. Is it Ubisoft or is it Ubisoft?
I've always said Ubi.
I think it's so. See, I've always said Ubi.
But I've heard it done different ways, and I heard it was named after some brothers in Sweden or something.
Ubi brothers?
And it's like the Ubi brothers?
Well, if it's off of Sweden, it's probably Ubi.
I have no idea. I just know Ubi was like the little hand puppet guy that was on kids' shows, and he talked and had the little eyeballs. Either way, These are the things, when you have kids, Tucker, you'll know, because you'll start making these obscure references to things that nobody gives a shit about. Either way, Ubisoft, Ubi, started off with South Park, The Fractured But Whole. Just let that sink in for our listeners. The Fractured But Whole. And then they followed it up with a new title. Let's talk about this for a little bit, because For Honor looked pretty good. When it comes out, are we confident in this? Because honestly, the whole time I'm watching Ubisoft's conference, I'm like, these are the guys that brought us Unity. but For Honor, it looked really good. Mart, did you happen to catch the videos in the trailer for this new game?
Sorry, Brian, I haven't seen For Honor. I didn't see much of Ubisoft, to be honest. I wasn't.
Yeah, I would have skipped it.
Watching them.
I would have skipped it if not having to do this show, as well. But Ryan, did you see For Honor?
Yeah, I saw that. That's the Viking kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
It looks cool. I mean, I don't really understand the direction they're going to take it entirely, but yeah, I mean, I like the concept behind it, and I thought the guy presenting it had a pretty good enthusiasm, so.
Yeah, and it's one of those games that I typically wouldn't play either, but there was something about it, I just liked it. I'll just round them out and then ask your opinion here, Tucker. They also covered Anno 2205, which is almost like a SimCity kind of on steroids kind of thing. Rainbow Six Siege of The Division. Trackmania Turbo is one of the ones that they covered that will also be in VR format. And then Ghost Recon Wildlands, which I was completely boned up over because I love me some Ghost Recon. But Tucker, of the games that Ubisoft presented, was there anything that got anybody, yourself and then anybody that you actually talked to really, really excited?
There's been a lot of excitement for The Division for a while, so that one, you know, they got more on that, people got to see it more, a little bit more excitement for that. Rainbow Six Siege was another one. For whatever reason, every year, or every time it comes out, Rainbow Six games are just how do I want to say this, everyone loves them, I'm a personal fan of them, and it seems that everyone that is buying a game like that, it's Rainbow Six. It's top of the line for the terrorist hunting kind of whatever. Other than that, Ghost Recon blew my mind. A couple have been kind of but there's definitely been quite a few that were really good, and this one I have high hopes for.
Yeah, my wife would get so mad at me on the original Xbox when I would play Ghost Recon because I was extremely patient. Because I was in the military, and I treated it like a military operation. Because it was all squad-based combat, and I would just point people in different directions. And I would just slowly move through an area, like all tactical. And she would be like, this is the most boring game ever. I'm like, shh. I just loved it. But, Mart, is there anything from Ubisoft, just looking through there, that you would be interested in? Because I know that there's a bunch of games there. You probably into The Fractured Butthole?
Only if it's yours, Brian. Only if it's yours.
In case you guys haven't figured it out, Mart is always either the butt or the one making the jokes that are like this. This is a theme.
You made me feel whole, Brian. That's fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, was there anything that Ubisoft would do that would interest you? I mean, I know that, you know, we're going to often mention Unity because it was just that bad. But I don't know how far you're into Rainbow Six games or Ghost Recons or anything like that.
I've never played them, to be honest.
You need to, because they're awesome. And what about you, Ryan? We'll just... Because Ubisoft was kind of a relatively short conference, which they didn't do a very good job at their conference, but is there anything from Ubisoft that you were really feeling?
Rainbow Six and South Park doesn't do anything for me, but I'm going to kind of piggyback with you guys and think that Ghost Recon looks awesome. I can't wait to get my hands on that.
Yeah, it's just the way they did it. The way they did it, it looks different than anything else that they've done with Ghost Recon to this point. And that's how you can win me, is just do something different. I don't want to see the same thing over and over again. But let's move on to the beast. The one that nobody actually, they're actually losing a lot of ground. I'm kind of surprised by it. But Electronic Arts, who I like to call them Electronic Arts because everybody calls them EA. But, I still also play, as I said, Mutant League, where it says Electronic Arts at the beginning of the game. But they started off, I thought they started off very strong by bringing Mass Effect right off the bat. Mass Effect Andromeda, looks to be going a slightly different direction, I would assume. And then they followed it up immediately with Need for Speed, which, one of my all-time favorite racing series, franchises, is Need for Speed. One of my all-time favorite games is actually Need for Speed Underground 2. So I got all pumped up for that. Then they had Unravel, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2, which Mart and I will talk in depth about for you guys. An expansion pack for the Old Republic, Star Wars The Old Republic, big MMO, and then they went over some sports titles, as we said, FIFA and NBA Live and NHL 16, and their fucking beards. then they went to Mirror's Edge Catalyst, and I gotta talk about this, because I'm kind of on the fence with Mirror's Edge. What are your thoughts on Mirror's Edge? Because I know it got a lot of hype and everything, but I kind of want to say that it almost looks like it's either going to be really badass or it's going to suck. I guess we'll start with Ryan. What are your thoughts on that? And then we'll go to Martin Tucker.
I tried a demo of the first Mirror's Edge and didn't take me, but I mean, it looks kind of interesting, you know? I mean, it's not... It's definitely thinking outside the box. I like that it's trying to do something different, but, you know, we'll see when it actually comes out if it lives up to the hype.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, what are your thoughts on Mirror's Edge? Did it look good to you?
I tried to get into the first one, and I don't know whether it was just the frame of mind that I was in. I think I had it for, like, a week, and then I took it back, traded it in. So... Mm-hmm.
Mark, do you remember the first one being very, very difficult, or am I just remembering it wrong?
I never played it.
I just didn't experience it at all.
Yeah, I just remember it being almost like, we mentioned Battletoads earlier, but being almost that level of difficulty.
Yeah. It was hard. That was exactly why I traded it in.
And it is kind of funny, though, because you mentioned like a game like Battletoads and difficulty level. The difficulty level of the old games were easier to take because there were only so many things you could do. And my problem with today's games is that if they're really super difficult, the problem is I have 16 different actions I can do at any given time for any given character on that screen. Because I've got four buttons, and I can press my analog sticks, and I can pull four different triggers, and I can do any combination of the two, and... I just find that sometimes when it's a difficulty level, it's because they're trying to make you do too much, kind of escaping the game experience and just frustrating the shit out of you. What are your thoughts, Tucker, first on Mirror's Edge, and then do you think that it's going to be something that's going to be a good game, or do you think that it could easily just flop as well?
If they're going to try and make it anything like the first game, it's not going to do well at all. I owned it for a total of maybe an hour and a half. Didn't like the way anything handled, and the game just kind of seemed stale. There's only so much you can do with the free-running aspect of a game. Like, yeah, that kind of makes it cool that you can run and climb stuff and jump from building to building. But yeah, there wasn't a lot to it other than that. And if you're going to try and build a game just around the cool, like, free-running, it's not going to go very far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like,
what threw me off was the first-person view.
Yeah, it's
The first one came out at a time when Assassin's Creed was prominent as well as it still is, and that's another free running game with a, at least back then it was, and more things to do than Mirror's Edge had to offer, so it was going up against that.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, you look back, like, Assassin's Creed 2 is one of my favorite games, and it had that free-running aspect to it. And as I was watching the Mirror, the Catalyst, I'll just call it Catalyst, as I was watching that demo, they kept bouncing from weird perspectives, and I couldn't get into the demo. Like, I understood the concept of it, and I wanted to like it. But I just couldn't shake that feeling of this is either going to be just something so spectacular that you can't help but buy it and want to play it all the time, or it's just going to be terrible.
Based on what I saw, it's just going to be a very niche title like the first one was. There's going to be a pocket of people that are just going to think it's the greatest game ever, but I just don't see it having a mass appeal.
Yeah. I'm with you there. And obviously they went to Madden 16. EA did, because you can't go through E3 without talking about Madden. Although that was kind of an awkward presentation of Madden, because they start talking about fantasy football, which, incidentally, Xbox got a lot of criticism for talking about fantasy football during the reveal of Xbox One, for being able to watch football and keep track of your fantasy football things. But EA, that's what they want to do with Madden, add that aspect of it, which kind of makes sense business-wise, I guess, since they're in bed with the NFL. But whatever. So Madden's just not necessarily my thing. They need to lose their exclusivity. Yeah, I said it. It's true. And Star Wars Battlefront is how they ended that show. I'm big on Battlefront. I'm big on Star Wars, not necessarily Battlefront. I kind of gauge my excitement on that based on my son. Ryan, you're also big on Star Wars things. What did you think of the Battlefront presentation from EA?
This looks like such a cool game. I still wish there was some kind of a single-player campaign that I could kind of work through, but, I mean, I'm not a big multiplayer guy, but this might be the game to kind of, you know, if it's a choice between no Star Wars game and Star Wars multiplayer, I'm gonna learn to love multiplayer, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And Mart, I know that you've done Mart Wars on Twitter with your Follow Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Is your son into Star Wars? Is this something that you would get into with him and maybe try to wean him off of something ridiculous like Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2?
It's already a plan for November. It's already a plan. It's about time he started doing some grown-up gaming. But I'm like Ryan, I've never been a multi-online player. I would love this as a campaign-based game. But I'm seeing their trailer, Sony's trailer, I think I'm going to have to get into it. It just looks amazing.
It looks good, it sounds good, and that makes me so worry about it, because we've heard so many negative things about it in the press leading up to this, whether it's content-wise, or the number of maps, the number of lack of classes, rather. I don't know what to make of it. And part of the problem that I have, and I don't know if you're with me on this, Tucker, I don't know what your feelings on Star Wars are, first off, because that's kind of a big thing with my generation, with our generation, Ryan and Mart. You're a little younger than we are. But Star Wars is a pretty big thing with our generation. And then when you have that, I'll just go ahead and call it treasured, okay? It's a treasured property. and freaking EA ends up with it. And I'm nervous about it, but what are your thoughts on it, and as well as the other titles that EA brought?
When it comes to Star Wars, it's just as treasured, at least with me, as it is with your guys' generation. Watch every single one of the movies, can't even tell you how many times. They're fantastic, so there's no loss of love there. But when it comes to the game, I like Battlefront 2. Yes. I like Battlefront 2. It still had that semi-single-player aspect to it. seeing as it was at a time when Xbox Live / PlayStation Network wasn't really a thing. So the fact, like, that was fun then. My only problem with it being multiplayer only is they tried that with Titanfall.
You gotta quiet down a little bit.
Sorry. They tried that with Titanfall, and Titanfall just wasn't a good game. It got so boring so fast, and it just, I don't want Battlefront to do the same thing.
Yeah, and Titanfall had such promise, is the thing. But just looking, and I am, I'm so nervous about what EA does, because you look at the way they've handled the Old Republic. They went and they came out with it, and everybody got on board with it. And then they went and made it free-to-play, quote-unquote, and then started treating players who played it in, under the free guys. They basically treated them like crap for the longest time, and I don't know that they've improved that at all. But then you've got them taking the Star Wars Battlefront franchise and limiting the number of maps, getting rid of classes. I'm just kind of nervous about it. I mean, it looks fantastic. It looks great. As I said, it sounds great. You get all the lightsaber as soon as you hear that lightsaber. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I'm just so nervous about the way they handle it. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it if it does flop, if it does terribly. Do you think that would kind of end the EA Star Wars relationship, since Disney has the chutzpah behind them to say, hey, EA, why don't you just go away there?
I don't know what kind of contract they signed, but, I mean, I thought it was a multi-year deal, so I think we're locked up with EA for X amount of time, no matter what happens.
Boo.
Yeah, it's depressing. And especially with EA, I mean, is Battlefront going to become an annualized franchise? Are we going to be getting a new Battlefront every single fall? Because that's going to get old really, really fast.
Oh, yeah, it will. Yeah, it will. If they try to do it, treat it like Call of Duty, that would be absolutely terrible, unless they'd made, like you said, a Star Wars Battlefront, and then, like, a Star Wars, like, kind of, not RPG, but something with a story, something with a campaign. Maybe I could get behind that. But if they just did Battlefront 2016, Battlefront 2007, I would...
It would just be terrible, and I'm sure the way that they would do it would be, okay, Battlefront 2016 has Tatooine and Sullust, and they'll just swap up the planets and whatnot, and, I mean, people would buy it every single year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just, that's daunting. Now I don't even want to think about it. But not to get our Twi'leks in a bench. Our Lekus in a bunch, rather.
Well played.
How about that?
Twi'leks
have Lekus. Yeah, we're going to have a Star Wars nerd moment again. let's just move on, because I've already had you guys on over an hour. But we're going to move on. I know E3 is big, but Sony, really with some of the last, one of the last things to actually end here, they did a bunch. They packed a bunch of stuff. And in the show notes, I only really just, I didn't even begin to scratch the surface, I think, of some of the things that they actually did show, because they did show a lot. And honestly, I was just typing as fast as I could. But they start off with The Last Guardians. Now, this kind of, for me, in my mind, in my memory, kind of started off with one of the things that you had said earlier. It's... One of you did. I can't remember if it was Mart or if it was Ryan. But you said about how we pretty much saw things that we've already seen before. We've seen The Last Guardians at the last 15 E3s. and we see it again. Now, Mart, are you feeling a little more optimistic about The Last Guardian, since Sony opens up with that and actually has at least something semi-substantive to show?
Yeah, I think The Last Guardians has been waiting for technology to catch up with it, with the vision. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I will probably give it a go, to be honest. We've already moaned about games that get churned out every year, so it's, you know, 15 years has got to be good, yeah, by the end of it.
Yeah, I think my problem with The Last Guardians is I feel the same way about it that I felt with Fable. Like, I love the first Fable game. 2 was alright. 3, just, oh my god. I'd rather wipe 3 from my memory. But I kind of feel the same way about The Last Guardians, because it's like so much promise, it looks great. Are they going to be able to deliver? Because they've spent so much time on it, they better deliver. Otherwise, you're going to have a bunch of people that will never, ever buy anything from that developer again. But just looking at some of the titles, I'm going to throw these out there, and then I'll let you guys talk. We'll just go right down the line. You can talk about whatever games you want to talk about. Start off with Last Guardians, as I said, Final Fantasy VII Remake, No Man's Sky, Street Fighter V, Shenmue 3, which I'm going to mention that, Horizon Zero Dawn, Dreams, Uncharted 4, Destiny, The Taken King, you got Hitman coming back out, World of Final Fantasy, some game called Riggs, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, Batman Arkham Knights, Disney's Infinity, Assassin's Creed Syndicate we saw, Firewatch, and again, Battlefront. Let's start with you, Ryan. What games on there really stood out to you, and would you like to actually weigh in on?
I mean, honestly, the two that popped out the most were Horizon Zero Dawn, which looks amazing. It looks like you guys might be too young to remember this, but it looks like a book called Clan of the Cave Bear and Transformers Had a Kid. And they made it, and it was that game. It just looks awesome. And then Firewatch too. I know that that's been a PC exclusive up till now, and to hear it announced on PS4 is great because I've been very interested in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, what are your thoughts, Tucker? As you were watching that, did you see anything on there that, as an Xbox One owner, you were kind of intrigued by? Thought that maybe you should get a PS4.
Definitely was intrigued by Horizon. It just looked great, looked pretty, cool idea behind it. Other than that, not... particularly? I'm not necessarily the...
Okay, you were breaking up there a little bit. What was that?
I don't necessarily like games out of that art style. Like all the Japanese I said I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of all of Sony's like JRPGs that they have, that kind of stuff. So like the Final Fantasy didn't really care for. I was excited to see the Destiny stuff just because obviously not an exclusive, and finally got to see some stuff come out of that, and that entire expansion looks amazing, and I want it.
All right. And
didn't care for just because... What?
Okay. All right, and Mart, if you're still with us...
I didn't know if I'd cut out or what.
Yeah. apparently, it's skipping out. Like on my end, is it skipping out for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. I didn't know if it was just me, because my computer's a piece of shit.
I feel like I'm trying to have a conversation with my dad on his 1994 cell phone.
We'll just fill it in. I'll cut and splice audio from Tucker and fill in all the spaces. So he's going to talk a lot about South Park fractured buttholes. Yeah, did you want to try that again, Tucker? Because it did. It broke up a lot.
My screen is showing we might have lost him. I just have you two up now.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, he's gone. All right.
Kind of building on what he says, though, I'm not a big fan of the kind of Japanese kind of looks either, so Final Fantasy VII and stuff really did absolutely nothing for me, so that was just a lot of time wasted for me personally.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm a huge Final Fantasy VII fan, and they've been promising it, and it kind of stuck with the theme. of we've seen this before, because they've been showing a Final Fantasy remake since PlayStation 2. And just never done it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of apprehensive about it, because how long is it going to take to make it, first off, and how much different are they going to do it? Are they going to present it differently? Because that's one of the things, they're remaking it, but are they going to also reformat it? Because yeah. they could probably change it, make it maybe a little more open world, maybe like a, if they did it like a, more like a Fallout, would it become something that maybe you would be more interested in, Ryan?
I've just never been a fan of that kind of art style type stuff. I tried playing Final Fantasy 13, and it just doesn't hook me for some reason. I mean, it's just, I like a lot of Japanese games. I'm a huge fan of the Metal Gear franchise. That's by far my favorite franchise of all time. So, I mean, I do like that kind of presentation style, but the Final Fantasy stuff has just never really got its hooks into me.
Yeah. And Mark, what are your thoughts? Because Sony did have a lot of games. Did any of these games actually end up on your must-have list?
I think I'm still interested in No Man's Sky, but then it was there last year. The bit where the guy panned out to show the actual size of the universe was just unbelievable. I just can't see much of a story behind it, which I am kind of... Now, at my age, I kind of like the story-based games more. Final Fantasy VII kind of floats my boat because of playing the original. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Ryan, anything that... When Final Fantasy got into double figures, it all kind of went downhill. But, yeah, I think I've got the same concerns as you, Brian. What are they going to do? Are they going to remake it, or are they going to change it?
Yeah, I'm assuming one of the few that's left that actually are really looking forward to that game. And I don't know, because maybe it's because I'm halfway through Final Fantasy VII on my PS1 right now. As I'm playing through it, I keep going back and forth between it and Final Fantasy IX, which Final Fantasy IX is my favorite. But Final Fantasy XIII, if that's the one you played, that was a terrible... terrible entry. But yeah, I mean, I was looking at the games and I was kind of excited about some of them. But not so excited that I was like, I must have this one and I must have that one. Horizon, as you guys said, I hate to repeat again, but yeah, Horizon looked pretty awesome. But I found myself irritated at Sony during a lot of the conference for some of the things they did. For bringing up PlayStation View. Because nobody gives a shit about PlayStation View.
Nope.
Nobody does. I can't think of any single person that is like, wow, this can totally change my or who I carry cable with. Because you're going to need an internet provider, and most people today, I would assume, have cable as their internet provider. Am I wrong on that?
That's how we have ours. Well,
yeah, in the UK, we've got cable. And they offer internet. Yeah. You can pay so much for your internet a month, and then you get a free cable box with so many channels.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Sony's going up against, the bundle deal, you know, where you can get your cable and your internet. So they have to find a way to counteract that.
Yeah. It's just really weird. Like, why they would even bring that up, it makes no sense.
Pointless. Pointless. Uncharted, I'm excited for. I might have to get the remastered 1, 2, 3 and play again.
Mark, what did you think of the demo and the placement in their conference to close it out with that?
I saw the driving part. Was that the last bit?
Yes.
With the tank. Okay. It still makes me want to get it. But yeah, I don't know. It was odd, but I don't know why Batman was there either.
Yeah, Batman, Call of Duty. I thought Disney Infinity. I actually tweeted at Brian there because I thought, hey, I was right. This is going to be the the Visceral announcement with the Amy Henning announced the narrative-driven Star Wars deal, and then it was Disney Infinity?
I know.
I was just kind of like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I heard the music, and I was just like, here we go. This is going to really get things rolling, and then it was Disney Infinity?
Yeah, that was a total cold shower.
Oh, God.
Infinity, between Infinity and the game that should not be named, these games have cost me a fortune. And we are not going down the Star Wars route. I've already made that.
Yeah, I got really into Hitman. The whole Disney Infinity thing ticked me off because it was like they showed this really fast montage of gaming scenes and then they ended with just Darth Vader. And I was like, oh shit, here we go. And then I'm like, Disney Infinity, yay. I can't wait to put freaking Buzz Lightyear in the Star Wars universe. Thanks.
Yeah, it was you phrased it perfectly. It was a cold shower.
Yeah. But, No Man's Sky, though, you brought that up. That was one of the things that irritated me. What a terrible presentation.
Yeah, not the best person to give a presentation. I mean, the only bit that, like, last year's was more exciting than that. The ambition and that they had, and they showed you. But this year, they picked a random planet that had fuck all on it. But the only bit that excited me was the visual size of that game. That's the only bit that excited me. And I've been really... I think I've messaged you about this game before, Brian. But it's just... Oh, I don't know. It's going to be different. But the vast size of that universe is unbelievable. If they pull that off, that's going to be amazing. It's just... What is the story or the end game behind it? I don't really get.
That's my biggest problem with it too. Is there going to be some kind of a narrative pushing this? Because if it's just going to be bouncing around the galaxy and looking at these planets, I mean, I can do the exact same thing in Mass Effect and have a fantastic story behind it. So you're going up against that as direct competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. In all honesty, and I was watching it, and I'm like, first off, you can have as big a universe as you want. And you can even say, well, there doesn't have to be a story there. But 95% of the places you go better have something fun to do with them. Because what he did is he showed up on some planet, and it was boring.
Shot a tree.
Shot
a tree.
Hey, I don't know what they were thinking with that presentation. I mean, they should have had that, you know, go here and go someplace exciting and show something with that we've never seen before. And that's the best that they could come up with, which really concerns me. I mean, there had to be somebody who was plotting that out, and that was their idea of let's go here.
Yeah. And somewhere in a convent in northern Italy, there was a nun saying, this game looks great.
Well, it's like at the start, he avoided the battle, didn't he, in space. I'm not going to take part in this battle because I don't have to.
You should have taken part in the battle.
Yeah, exactly. Got some balls.
And the last thing that I wanted to mention about Sony's presentation and why I gave them lower marks than Microsoft is the Shenmue 3 debacle. And I consider it a debacle. I don't care if you're excited about Shenmue 3. I really don't. Why are you starting a Kickstarter at E3, which is the biggest video game thing that you have all year? You're starting a Kickstarter. You're Sony. What is Sony worth? What is the Sony Computer Entertainment of America worth? What is the entire gaming division of Sony worth? And you're starting a Kickstarter for Shenmue, and you're giving it valuable time on that stage, which anybody, any developer would kill for that time, and you're starting a freaking Kickstarter. Oh, by the way, how many people were excited about the Kickstarter? Just that one guy in the audience that awkwardly stood up during the countdown and looked like a complete moron doing so. That was the only person that was excited, and he immediately felt guilty for feeling excited about it.
And then he pledged $50,000 straight off the bat.
I agree with you 100%. That felt so weird. I don't know if it was Sony's attempt to, you know, say, hey, we're a billion-dollar corporation, but, hey, we understand the common, like, Kickstarter roots and stuff like that, and, you know, this is our indies, and we kind of get all that stuff, but it just, it was so bad.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that they did it. Like, after it, I just could not believe that they went that route.
It bothered me. It really bothered me.
It was so bizarre. But, yeah, but let's just look at it in strength, and we'll just say Sony did offer a lot. They had a lot going on. I believe it was Old School Heel on Twitter, who you can find at _OldSchoolHeel. I believe he said that the final count was like 23 exclusives for Sony and 10 for Microsoft. But I'm not interested in the comparison between the two. But just looking at everything that Sony offered, can they look at this year's E3 conference and say that it was a successful one? In a year, will we say that was a pretty successful year?
If any of these games come out within the next year, yes. That's the trouble with the Sony games at the moment. They promise. I think I said it in my email. I just want them to reach around and tickle my balls and let these games come out.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
That's
my problem, too, is it just feels like nothing is coming in 2015 because nothing actually is coming in 2015. I mean, I think the only exclusive that is coming this fall is the Nathan Drake collection, and from all appearances, that is just a straight-up, you know, hey, we made Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 prettier. I mean, they didn't even take the time to take the Vita game, Golden Abyss, and put that on there. I mean, do something to make that Nathan Drake collection special. Find some way. I know it's got the beta for Uncharted 4. That does nothing to me. But, I don't know, add some kind of, like, exclusive, like, mission between Uncharted 3 and Uncharted 4. Like, even if it's, like, a 20-minute level or something, just do something to make that special. And they hardly even mention it, and I just don't get that.
Yeah, kind of like, what is it, the Metal Gear Solid 5, they call it Ground Zeroes?
Ground Zeroes, the prologue, yes.
Yeah, it's basically a prequel to the game that's coming,
yeah.
Just to pump you up about it, and that's a brilliant move. Like, even if they sold it, which you can buy Ground Zeroes, which if you didn't have PlayStation Plus and got it for free, like most sensible people would, you could buy it for $20.
Something to just kind of like whet your appetite for Uncharted 4, which is coming next spring. There's just nothing that fires me up for this fall, and that's very frustrating. There's so many great exclusives, but we keep saying like it's coming in 2016, and just I want something now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
if any of these exclusives are out before the next E3, I'll be surprised.
And I think that's long time been Sony's big problem, is they announce all these games, but they're never like, they're always like still quote unquote in development, so they don't actually give, even if they say coming next year, they never give like a specific time. Whereas anytime Microsoft or any other developer has their conference, they have the big titles, and for the most part have a pretty set release date for them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this was the third E3 we've seen Uncharted 4 at, because it got debuted for the... And it's just like, you're going to close your show with that? I mean, give us something to pop. That's why, like we talked about last week, Brian, show me God of War, the next God of War on PS4. Do something, even if it's nothing more than a logo. Just, like, show something. I've seen Nathan Drake hide behind cover and shoot guys with an AK-47. I've played 4 games that have done that, and that's how you're going to close your show? I mean, give me some. Yeah. Oh, that was so bad. Yeah. It almost looked like the controller failed on him or something. But I mean, that aside, I mean, that stuff happens. It's inexcusable that happens given the developer and the caliber of the developer. But still, I mean, just even if it worked flawlessly, you're showing me something I've done thousands of times. Give me something fresh. Give me something new. You're closing out your show. Just like punch me in the gut. Give me something huge.
Yes. Oh, completely. And one of the things, I mean, you look at it, the advantage And I just said, we're not going to compare the two, but if you want to compare the two, you have to say that the advantage goes to Microsoft simply because, one, yes, they offer dates for their games, and those dates are now, over the next several months, leading up to Christmas, when you're going to sell consoles with new, fresh games. Where Sony, you have to wait for their new, fresh games until Easter, where nobody gets a console. Then, one of the things I saw was, well, they don't have anything coming next year. Well, Microsoft said at the E3 conference, we're going to have, or maybe it was before the E3 conference leading up to it, they said, we're going to have a lineup here, and we're going to have another lineup of games at Gamescom in August. So we're going to see possibly more stuff coming for the spring of 2016 there, because you can say, well, this is all weighted to 2015. They're not spreading it out. Well, maybe that's true. But they're going to be going to, where is it? Is it Australia? That Gamescom? Or,
I think it is Australia, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to be going there with a whole new, I think they named 5 or 6 different titles that everybody knows about that they're going to be presenting there. So they have plans for the future. It's not just E3 and E3 alone. I think that it's hard not to say Microsoft did it the right way by having some of these things going out with a bang with some of the titles that they've got and some of the things that they... I mean, they started off with a bang with Halo. And just that's not something that Sony did. And everybody said they love Sony's presentation. And as a Sony owner, I was not enthused. I wasn't as enthused, and I don't know... Tucker, you have the Xbox One. As you were watching Sony's, do you get the impression that maybe some of the Sony people were enthused because of the rose-colored glasses that we all tend to wear for the console of our own ownership? That's the one on my stand, so they've got to do better because I'm wishful thinking here?
I mean, kind of, and I know a couple of my friends that are, you know, big PS4 buffs, whatever, were excited for the panel, but watching it not as a PS4 owner, I really didn't care for it. I didn't like that they didn't have set release dates for things, that they kept promising things, obviously like The Last Guardians that they've been promising forever, and you get the feeling that they could very well keep doing that to you because they don't have the dates for their games. And the fact that watching it, the only things that caught my interest were Horizon and Firewatch caught my interest a little bit. But other than that, was pretty much Destiny, which isn't an exclusive. So when you have something that's catching, you know, a non-PS4 owner's eye, is the something that isn't an exclusive, you're not really going to go far if you're going to keep going down that road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, obviously we talked about expectations going in and expectations coming out and some of the different consoles, the companies and how they took it and various things. I completely agree with you, Tucker, because you gotta promise the gamer something. And I think that's where the Sony kind of dropped the ball because at the end of it, we're just kind of like, all right. Yeah, we want to play games. Some of the games that are coming out, The Last Guardians, but we don't even know when it's coming out. Or, frankly, because of its record, if it's coming out.
Yeah.
Horizon, yeah, it looks great, and we can be excited about it, and everybody should be excited about good games. Batman Arkham Knights, everybody's excited about anyway. It's just how excited
are.
Yeah.
I mean, he even said that in his tease, the Sony guy. He's like, oh, this is coming out next week. I'm like, why are you spending any time on this? And if people have either decided whether they've either pre-ordered it or they're going to pick it up at the store, you're not going to sell Batman Arkham Knight at this point. Yeah. It's coming out literally 8 days away. What is the point of wasting? And that trailer was like 2 minutes long. It's like, time is money, dude. You just spent 2 minutes at your conference on a game that's coming out in 8 days. What are you doing?
Don't worry, they made it up with the Shenmue Kickstarter.
Oh, God, it's just such a... Oh, wow. Tucker, Tucker, as an Xbox guy, I'm kind of curious what the... How do you interpret the Call of Duty Black Ops 3 kind of timed exclusive type deal for Sony? Do you have any feelings on that?
Don't really care. I stopped really caring about Call of Duty around Modern Warfare 2. That was the last good one, in my opinion. I mean, I am a sucker and have bought all of them since, but I've hated them for the most part. Like, I bought Advanced Warfare. I think I've played it for, like, 3 hours, maybe. I just don't really care for it, and didn't even like Black Ops 1, so the fact that they just keep going on that, I really don't care for.
Because, I mean, that was a good chunk of, that was a couple minutes of Sony's conference as well, was spent showing that.
I don't know. I think they keep trying, not necessarily even just with Call of Duty, but companies keep trying to push the same franchise and I even thought Black Ops 2 was too far, but now they've just gotten to a point where, like, I don't even understand why.
Yeah. It's come to that point where they didn't even have to try, so they're not going to try.
Nope.
So they kind of just alternate between studios. All right, you're going to work with the same template and just come up with something different, anything different. Even if it's just you're going to add whatever, and it's not anything significant. And that's what I hate. Just come up with something different. Like, surprise me. And they tried it once, and you can shit on them, and I did, for introducing the dog. But at least they did something different. I mean, it wasn't like, wow, look at that. Because it's just to the point where they're making the thing so busy that it's like, I think I made the comment that this is a perfect game for somebody with ADHD. Because there's just so much going on that you can constantly be distracted by something else. And that's part of my problem with it. And it's one of the things that I didn't like actually about Halo 5, is there was a lot going on. But visually, as somebody who was watching it and not playing it, it was beautiful. It was awesome. And it's the same way with Call of Duty. Like, it's a beautiful game. It's well done. But I can't play it. I just can't bring myself to do it. Now, Mart, I'm going to start with you, and this isn't something that's in the notes, but was there something... Yeah, so you're just going to wing it. was there anything that wasn't at the show that you really wanted to see?
I've got some things at the show that I really didn't want to see. How's that?
You wanted more semen.
Can I just mention Nintendo? I know they're not on the list. I kind of got my hopes up for Star Fox. Always loved Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've kind of ruined it for me. When the spaceship turns into like a large chicken and runs around and shoots things. Star Fox might have thrown me, as well as Zelda, to buy a Wii U. But now I'm definitely not going to buy one. And especially as they've now tied up with Skylanders.
Yeah.
And you can use Amiibos on Skylanders, next generation Skylanders. So the Wii U, definitely out.
I heard that the next Skylanders is going to be shark jumping. It's going to be Skylanders shark jumping. But same question for you, Tucker. Was there something that was missing from this year's E3, not EA? Something from this year's E3 that was missing that you really wanted to see? Is Tucker still with us, or did he go away again?
I've just got you two up on my screen right now.
Okay. You fell asleep.
In that case, we'll get with you, as well.
We'll get with you, Ryan. I totally dropped again. I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry about that. That's
all right.
When it comes to things that I wanted to see, I wanted more announcement on what the hell was going on with Silent Hills. I'm not sure if they canceled it or what exactly is happening with that. And the fact that it was never mentioned kind of, I mean, I wanted to know because it looked like a fun game. I wanted something more from Blizzard. Didn't really even see if there was anything from them, and they were, like, mentioned on being on Microsoft panel, they were on the PC gaming panel, and I didn't see anything from them, and it just bothered me. Why even take the time to mention that a company like that's going to be there if you're not going to actually, like, announce something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a big one, particularly the Silent Hills one. I was shocked that we didn't see something from Microsoft concerning Silent Hills, or Sony for that matter, and just some sort of a conclusion to that debacle that is. And I really did, given the rumors that we actually had talked about. That would have been something that would have been massive, and we just didn't see anything.
Have we all played the PT demo, the download?
I actually did not. I came into the party of kind of late when it came to the PT demo.
I played it, and it was one of the creepiest things I've ever played, but...
I've never been so disturbed in a game.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Nice.
Just the complete lack of, like, direction and the complete, like, sense of, like, what am I doing? I just felt lost the entire time, and you turn around, and it was just amazing.
It got to the point where I had to look up, like, walkthroughs on how to finish it, because I just wanted to know, like, how the thing ended, because everyone said, like, the ending is ridiculous, you know, you see something you're not expecting to see, and I'm like, I don't know how to get there. Mm. So I had to look that up, and I actually just Googled it, and I guess as of April 27th, it's been official that, like, Konami confirmed, like, the entire thing's canceled.
That's a tragedy.
Wow. So...
Yeah.
Konami is just a hot mess right now.
There was the speculation that it might be because, you know, Xbox bought it, whatever. Supposedly, the entire thing's just canceled, which is sad.
Yeah, that's nuts, because we actually covered it on our Xbox preview, our Microsoft preview, that Rooster Teeth, I believe it was, actually had broke the story that they were in negotiations. And we've just not seen anything to confirm that at this point, which kind of sucks. But either way, yeah, maybe we'll hear something in the future. Who knows? Because allegedly it's 80% done, and they can't just scrap that. That'd be a hell of a tax write-off, I would assume. But Ryan, is there anything that was missing from this year's E3 conference from your point of view that you kind of wish was there?
I've actually got two of them, and I mentioned my first one earlier in that I'm horribly disappointed there wasn't a God of War, some kind of showing there, whether it was a 3 on PS4 or a straight-up reveal of, hey, we're working on 4. Even something as simple as a logo would have been enough for me, but we got absolutely nothing. And then the other one is the Star Wars narrative-based that Visceral is working on. I'm just shocked that didn't turn up at either the EA conference or one of the console conferences, particularly Sony. I think that would have been just in a year where there's a brand new Star Wars movie coming out, there's hope again that these movies are going to be good. I think just a huge missed opportunity to not show something of that. Even, like, just give us a taste, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And ever since we had our conversation, that's all I've been thinking about, is how cool it would be if we saw, like, a Knights of the Old Republic, not the Old Republic, but a Knights of the Old Republic, come to a format like PS4, or at the very least, just the next generation console. Because I've got my son playing those very games. I've got the Jedi Academy series. There are so many things that they could pull and remaster if they just wanted to take the time to remaster it. There are so many good games for Star Wars, and you're absolutely right. There's so much hype over Star Wars right now, and what we're getting is Battlefront, which even in its glory, it's just another first-person shooter is all it is. There's nothing really that substantive about it. I think one of the things that I was kind of hoping to see, and I always hope for it, because we get the retro things and stuff like that, but what we didn't see is anything Mutant League, because that's actually been in the news quite a bit about Kickstarter starting and trying to get those things up. It would have been cool to see them. I also would have liked to have seen Nintendo actually come back to the E3 fold. I think that they kind of need to stop doing what they're doing in an isolationist sense. Because they do the Nintendo Direct, which I think is great. But I think if they're going to be taken seriously, like, in this next generation console thing, and maybe we'll see it next year, because they've got Project NX, which nobody seems to know anything about, but Project NX is in the pipeline, and that's something that they apparently are going to do console-wise, and it would have been nice to see them come out and at least make their presence felt outside of YouTube at the E3 convention. That's really what I wanted to see, because I have a lot of hope for Nintendo, just based on things like The Legend of Zelda, the things that they've been able to do with Super Smash Bros. It's just, if they're going to be serious and be considered a serious company, like we all want them to be because of a nostalgia point of view, they need to step up with the big boys and be there, because it becomes a credibility by association thing for me. And right now, they're that little bastard child. They're the Rally's hamburgers that's sitting in between, like, all the Red Lobsters and all those restaurants, and it's just, it's becoming farcical at this point for me. I don't know what you guys' opinion is on Nintendo, but I love Nintendo. I love Nintendo for all it is and all it does, and it sucks to see them doing what they're doing.
It's just been so long that you can't take their hardware seriously. You know, I mean, the Wii was what it was, and the Wii U has clearly blown up in their faces. They just need to find a way to, whether it's a financial thing, they're afraid to invest the money if they're relying too much on people, or what we produce, but they need to find a way to get on par with the Xbox One and the PS4.
Is that possible at all, Tucker?
Come
is Tucker
Parliament
gone again?
Genius.
Man, we'll just go with you, Mike. Is it possible for Nintendo to actually make a big impact in the video game industry console-wise?
I think next year they've got to go. The NX or whatever it is has got to come out next year, I think. Because this is so many titles that have not done for the Wii U. And yeah. Is it because they're holding back for the NX?
Mark, what do you think the NX, from a hardware standpoint, what do you think the NX has to offer to succeed?
I think, well, it's going to have to be the same, running the same kind of spec as a PS4 or as an Xbox. The thing is, so that they can get those mainstream developers back and get the main titles that everybody plays on them. But you're always going to get the Nintendo exclusives, aren't you? Those are always going to be a winner for Nintendo. Everybody loves the Nintendo games are fun at the end of the day, aren't they? There are things that you can drop in and out of all the time, rather than sticking, you know, 4 or 5 hours in a hit. You can probably play for half an hour, put it down, and then go back a few days later.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Mario or a Zelda game in the classical sense running at, like, the graphical fidelity of a PS4 or an Xbox One. I think that would be just something else. That would be enough to get me back into the Nintendo fold with a classically, like, a traditional controller that I hold in my hands. None of this, like, big touchpad. I don't want to hold a Wiimote or any of that stuff. I just want to just kind of get back to the roots, you know, of a traditional controller in my hands and high-quality graphics on par with Sony and Microsoft.
Yes. Yes, and that's the key, because they've relied so much on gimmicks over the past several years. I don't know that they know how to get away from the gimmick. I think the gimmicks have become Nintendo's crutch, unfortunately. And the thing is, like, the original Nunchuck controller, the Wiimote.
Give you an updated N64 controller.
Yeah. I mean, what they did. I mean, with that N64 controller, they really changed what a controller could be, but then they kept pushing it. And I liked the Wiimote for what it was, but like Ryan said, I mean, you're dealing with holding a tablet now to in order to actually play these games, and it's ridiculous. But, gentlemen, I am going to call it a night because we're coming up on 2 hours. That's unbelievable. Time flies when you're having fun.
The sun's coming up in Blighty. I've just tweeted you a picture.
Yeah, you got to go to bed. You got to go back to bed before breakfast. Kegs and eggs. That's what I'm saying.
Bacon, pineapple, and ribs.
But I thank both of you very much. I'll let you guys do your plugs, and I'll plug for Tucker because you're back?
I think I'm here. I'm sorry that I keep dropping. I should be good. The internet in my household has not been nice to me tonight, so.
Oh, nice. Nice. He lives in an Amish country in Pennsylvania.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Well, we'll start with you, Ryan, and then we'll make the longest plug you can, and we'll see if we can make Mart pass out by the time we get to him.
I like Mart. I'm not going to do that to him. Just Ham and Ryan Twitter, so just give me a follow if you like games and hockey and cute cat pics. So.
Excellent. And Tucker?
It's really the only thing I have is Twitter, so it's @you_me_McKee. It's really long and obnoxious, and I need to change it, so I'm sorry about that. But that's about the only thing I have, so cool.
You're like, sorry, but not really. And, Mart?
It's 4:18 a.m. And I am at only one Mart on Twitter. Follow me if you like gaming and soccer. And apparently, according to Brian, I really don't like hockey, so there we go.
Alright, well thank you guys so much for coming along. If you want to get a hold of the show, I know this is a long one, and thank you very much for your patience for listening to the whole thing, but it was good talk, so there you go. It was its own reward. You can get a hold of the show by simply following either me personally at ToonsBrian, or go to toonshow.com, which is TOONSSHOW.com, where the dot is a period on your keyboard, down by the little shift key kind of thing. But you go there, and if you go into the Be a Loony tab, you can find all the possible ways to contact pretty much everybody that's involved with the show on a regular basis. So go there, do that. Get on Skype, friend us. We're at ToonShow, go figure, on Skype. Send us an email, toonshow@gmail.com. So on behalf of Brian and Mart, and Tucker, and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.